Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, through science to health, with yours truly, Chris Bricker and Lynn Sorensen, RN retired, a longtime community member of Port Townsend and an advocate for public health awareness and promotion. Lynn's also a member of the KPTZ's Virus Watch and Emergency Response Team. And on alternate Fridays at 12:15, around 12:15, around the noon hour anyway, we bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and review some of the insights and journey of discovery surrounding COVID-19. Lynn Sorensen, welcome to Through Science to Health.
Thank you, Chris.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, and I know that the public is probably, unless you're hiding under a rock, you've probably heard that there have been some developments on the vaccine and some approvals and so on and so forth. You'll be getting into that in a second. Mm-hmm. But one of the things on the national scale, I'm not going to go through a whole bunch of statistics or anything like that, but I will say that although the Trump administration is continuing to cause chaos rather than unity, and it looks like the Donald is more interested in either getting rid of the CCNRs down at Mar-a-Lago so he can call Mar-a-Lago his residence in January, or whether he's playing golf. Basically, he's throwing anything at the wall, according to Heather Cox Richardson, who put it rather succinctly. Anything he hopes, in hopes of staying in office, and more chaos it creates, the happier he is. The lawsuit crisis has, for example, muted the story that at least 2,923 Americans died today or yesterday of COVID-19, and 223,570 cases were reported, a 28% increase in the weekly average of cases since 2 weeks ago. So having said that, that's sort of the national recap. The only additional thing I can say is that because of the lack of national leadership, some states are not financially equipped to actually carry out the vaccine distributions in an effective way, or at least in an immediate way. But that's all. Some of this is water under the bridge, and what we're confronted with is what we can do now in order to be effective in the distribution of the vaccine. I think what I'd like from you is maybe a recap. Dr. Locke met, as usual, last Monday, and gave his report. So maybe you can sort of summarize that for us.
Yeah, I'll highlight on some things. As of yesterday in Jefferson County, we were up to 191 positive cases, and there have been over 14,000 tests that have actually been done. What I found interesting in looking at the demographics was that there are as many positives in these three different age groups, 0 to 19, 30 to 39, and 70 to 79. All of those had 27 cases within those age groups. But it's still the 60 to 69-year-olds that has the largest number of positives, but that was at 39. So I just thought we're pretty widely distributed over the different age groups. But up to 191, and haven't gotten today's case report yet, but I'm sure there'll be some additions to that. And Dr. Locke had a lot of work to go through as far as questions from KPTZ listeners on this past Monday. And he talked about the vaccines, and also that we'll need about 70% of our whole population before we can to be vaccinated, before we can consider discontinuing wearing of masks and distancing ourselves. So this is going to be a long process. And I think people have to understand that even if you are vaccinated, there are many others who may not be vaccinated until much further later in the year. And so I think that's important. Also to know that the U.S. government has purchased the vaccine, so there's no out-of-pocket expense for the actual vaccine. I don't know if that will mean that there won't be any administrative costs for you to actually receive it through however it's going to be done. He did have questions about, some things for just people that are out walking about. There were some concerns that they were, being exposed to a bicyclist who was rushing past them on a trail, or people running and not wearing a mask. And really, Dr. Locke was saying that this exposure, yes, it's there. There is a risk, but it's very limited and low. It's the passage of time. It's a few seconds of them going by you. And really, they're saying it needs to be, a cumulative of 15 minutes and very close distance. So if a bicyclist is going by you, that is going to be not very much of a risk at all. And that distance is really the most protective. A mask certainly is necessary. But when you're walking outside with a friend, if you're closer than 6 feet, you should still be wearing a mask, even though you're outside. But if you're keeping that distance between you, he didn't think it was necessary. The distance was the most important. And let's see, what else? He did talk about the different vaccines, and we are definitely hearing about the Pfizer vaccine, which has been approved in Canada and the UK and other countries. And I was just hearing on the Native report there that they're going to be bringing distributing vaccines to the various Indian nations here. So I'm assuming that it's coming out to other places too. And this is the first dose that's been approved. This one has to be kept at a freezer temperature of a negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, super cold. And hospitals are generally set up to have these deep freezers, but clinics would not be able to have them. And once the vial is opened, they have to be used up pretty quickly. So that is going to impact, just the amount of what they call the cold chain has to be kept intact wherever it goes. And to keep it that cold for that long, get it out, I think that's going to be a drawback to this particular vaccine. And the U.S. did purchase 100 million doses of Pfizer vaccine, which is supposed to be 95% effective. But it's a two-dose vaccine, so you get your initial shot, and then at a minimum of 3 weeks later, you get your secondary booster. So that, say if you went 4 weeks or 2 months from the time you got your first shot, it's still okay to get the second shot. It's just that you can't have it any closer than 3 weeks. And that's also true of the Moderna vaccine, which will probably be approved fairly soon. And this one is, again, two doses, and it needs at least 4 weeks between doses. And also, the government did bankroll Moderna and with $1 billion, and they're in partnership with the National Institute of Health to bring this vaccine to fruition. And this one just requires refrigeration at a negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit. So that, again, that's going to help it be able to be distributed to other areas that don't have these super freezers. The AstraZeneca, or the University of Oxford, they're together in this. This is the one that's had a bit of negative press in that they got a little messed up on some of their dosages that they were giving their clinical trials. And so some people only got a half dose with the first one and then got a full dose with their second one, again, 4 weeks apart. But what was interesting is that they found that half dose was enough to get the immune system going well enough that the second dose worked and is up to 90% efficiency. So that's some bad press, but again, it's all good. There are actually 57 vaccines in clinical trials
How many?
In humans.
How many?
57 around the world.
Let alone all of the therapeutic developments for people that are already sick.
Yeah, and I'm banking on the vaccines because I don't think the therapeutic medicines are going to be the way to go, at least not offhand. Johnson & Johnson is coming up with a one-dose vaccine, but its efficacy is unknown at this point, but it's stable in a refrigerator. So that one is probably one that'll be great to go to other, other countries, third world countries that just have refrigeration. Hopefully, not everyone has refrigeration. That too is a problem. But and vaccines, like I said before, will not replace the mask or hygienic measures for some time. I mean, it's got to be seen as just an adjunct because it's going down this whole hierarchy of who's going to get it and when. And I think our first responders and healthcare workers are really, and the nursing home residents and their caregivers, they're probably the number one on the list to get the first vaccine doses.
Well, there's so many encouraging things in the pipeline that are just flat out encouraging to all of us that really need to hang in there a little bit longer to practice the usual protocols, because it's not a matter of what normally people would think of herd immunity.
Right. Like I said, we need 70% of the population before we can say, oh, yeah, the ones that aren't vaccinated, they're okay because the rest of us are vaccinated. But getting the distribution of these vaccines is just a massive logistical challenge. And so we just have to bide our time. And I would say whatever vaccine you're offered, it's gone through all these clinical trials and been approved, et cetera, et cetera. I think you're going to get the one you're going to get, because I don't think you're going to have a choice of, oh, I'll take that one versus this one. Because I think they just got to spread out around the world. You know, first of all, the United States for these ones I was just talking about. They're saying that, a natural immunity, say you had COVID, you're still going to want to get that vaccination because there's still uncertainty how long the immunity would last from an actual case of COVID-19, and might as well get that boosted with the actual vaccine too.
Well, I think it's logistics and distribution are also tied in with the financial ability for the states to be able to do that, and hopefully that can all be ironed out. And it's also a matter of trusting in the experts that are reviewing all of these vaccines and processes, and realizing that we have quite a massive team of intellects and scientific expertise that are working ahead of any kind of revelation that a vaccine is ready. So that's really important. Lynn, we have a couple more minutes. I know that there's a smartphone app out there. I think it's important for folks to realize that it's not something that takes the place of contact tracing. It's a matter of voluntarily putting, opting in to a situation where those that have actually put their code in, if they're infected, or people have put their code in to be notified that if they come within proximity of someone else, then there's a caveat that appears on the phone.
Right. And it's a Bluetooth technology, and it does add up the number of the time that if you've had over 15 minutes exposure to that particular cell phone of the other person's, and also the distance that you may have been, how close you were to that other person. So I myself have not signed up for the app. Dr. Locke, he recommended it, but he says he's not really sure how well it's going to help them, but he said any additional tool in the toolbox is welcome. So You know, we all have a, we can all decide whether we want to be in on that or not.
Well, Lynn, boy, time flies.
It sure does.
When we get together here. But in a couple of weeks, we'll probably be able to have some really encouraging news on all fronts. Hopefully on some fronts in particular, the chaotic fronts. But as far as the distribution and the acceptance of the vaccine and the ability for us to see light at the end of the tunnel is really important. Lynn Sorensen, thank you once again.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Lynn Sorensen, RN, retired, longtime community member of Port Townsend and an advocate for public health and awareness and promotion. Thank you so much for joining me today on Through Science to Health, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.